Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Off the Bench podcast with the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm FPL Harry from Fantasy Football Scouts.
Hey, Harry, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, finally a good couple of performances for Chelsea, so and a good game week for me. So I'm doing well, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Not such good performances for my team, Liverpool, but we'll talk about that in just a second. So as we saw, game week 10, a game week full of big swings, Harry. Managers who sold the likes of Cancelo because of the Man City blank coming up in 12, they were heavily punished. An 18-pointer for Cancelo, such a good performance from him. And lots of other injuries to the likes of Diaz, and maybe we're a bit unsure on Mitrovic still. So lots to think about in our FPL teams going into game week 11. How was your game week 10, first and foremost? So what was your score?
Yeah, so I got 73 points this week, which was topped up by Dominic Solanke coming off the bench for me as I started Alexander Mitrovic this week. I did think the sort of chance of him coming off the bench was quite small. I thought he'd either start and get that 90 minutes or he'd come off the bench for Dominic Solanke. I also have Trent in there as well, a couple of injuries in my squad at the moment that we'll have to talk about potential transfers, which is not really what I want to be using them on at the moment. But as you said, Cancelo, big 18-pointer. Martinelli coming in with a 12, and then that Solanke 8 were sort of the key standouts for me. How about you?
Yeah, I did all right. I was a bit bang average, to be honest with you. I had 70 points, which gave me a green arrow is a green arrow, so I'll take it. But I went up from 133k overall rank to about 129k overall rank. So a rank rise of about 3 or 4k. It was a little bit average, but you know, I'll take it. Same as you, actually. A lot of the big players I had the same as you. I had Cancelo, I had Martinelli, did very well. But again, going forward, we've got this issue now. I've got this kind of question mark hanging over Mitrovic and whether he's going to be fit or not. I've got a couple of players in my team that don't play in game week 12. So I'm looking at them and thinking, how am I going to navigate that blank game week? But lots to consider. Let's get into it then. Let's talk about the game week 10 as it was. Where do you want to start? I think we need to start with Liverpool versus Arsenal, don't you? I mean, a cracking game, a really, really good game. As a Liverpool fan, a difficult one to swallow, I have to say. But Arsenal, absolutely incredible. Arteta's got them well drilled, hasn't he?
He does. And sort of back to front, I know you scored twice in that game, but I think they still looked pretty assured defensively going forward as well. All three of them. I think Saka, Martinelli, Jesus all looked like good assets in their own right. This week it was Martinelli and Saka got the points. Jesus has done it throughout the season as well. They look really, really well drilled going forward. I think the big thing this week for a lot of us is that game week 12 blank. It kind of feels like a placeholder week before we get into that blank. A lot of us are thinking, how is our team going to look going into that week? And Arsenal is a big one. I only have Martinelli in my team and I wildcarded over the international break, decided to keep Martinelli, but didn't buy into it anymore. And I just can't wait for game week 13 to come back around that I can start buying back into some of these guys. Saka versus Jesus, do I go with both of them? I'll have at least one of them again and I will look defensively. But they just looked so good. A team that didn't look quite so good and haven't so far this season, dare I say, is Liverpool. Looks like another couple of injuries.
All right. Don't rub it in, thank you.
A couple of injuries as well is not going to help. It looks like Luis Diaz and Trent as well might be out for a few weeks, depending on reports that we've heard as well. How do you think that's going to impact you? It can't get much worse than it is at the moment.
Oh, you're really turning the screw, aren't you, Harry? Thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, it was bad news, actually, on the injury front, wasn't it? I was actually surprised to see Trent carry on in that game because when I saw it, when I saw the replays on the TV, it looked a bad one. The ankle did actually kind of turn over. So let's not speculate. We've got to hear a confirmation from Klopp as to what's actually happened there. But and certainly we're seeing a lot of news from reporters in and around the club again, yet to be confirmed. But we're hearing that Luis Diaz is going to be out for an extended period of time with that knee injury. Again, he tried to carry on, didn't he? But couldn't. So yeah, it goes from bad to worse from a Liverpool perspective. Luis Diaz certainly looking, and the underlying stats would suggest, looking like the most dangerous player for Liverpool going forward. And that's the one thing I would say as a Liverpool fan is that actually scoring goals hasn't necessarily been our issue. We've been creating chances and we've been getting goals. And all right, they're coming from different sources, like the likes of Darwin Nunez and Luis Diaz, not necessarily from Mo Salah. But defensively, again, Liverpool a little bit all over the place. Certainly that the first goal when Arsenal pulled Tsimikas out of position so that Van Dijk had to come over and Trent was stuck, you know, 4 versus 1 and overload at the back post. I think teams like Arsenal are smart enough now to figure out how to move that Liverpool defence around. And that's a bit of a concern going forward. I mean, one of the things that I'm looking at is actually from game week 12, Liverpool have got West Ham at home. And by the way, West Ham, we'll talk about them a bit later on, found a bit of form. Liverpool at home to West Ham in game week 12, having a look at some of the fixtures going forward, and I'm thinking, yeah, ordinarily, I'd want to invest in Liverpool. But at the moment, I don't think that I can. And ahead of that Manchester City game, I'll be honest, Harry, I'm fearing for the worst a little bit in that Manchester City game. How do you feel about investing in Liverpool going forward? I mean, I guess you're not ahead of the Man City game, right?
Yeah, so my plan at the moment was to do Kevin De Bruyne into Mo Salah going into game week 12, keep Salah for that game week 12, fix your run all the way up into the World Cup. And I imagine a lot of people had a very similar strategy. It also worked because when we'll talk about Manchester City, it allows me to move from Kevin De Bruyne to Phil Foden as well. And it gives me an excuse to go and sell him. But I just can't look at Mo Salah at 12.8 million or whatever he's down to now, that he's worth that amount of money. I then thought, okay, potentially I go to Luis Diaz at a cheaper price, but with him yellow flagged at the moment, I can't see myself going there. So the question for me now arises is, do I want any Liverpool? Because I've currently got Trent sat in my squad and I don't think he's worth the value. The only really ones that I look at are the ones who are actually strikers at the moment that we didn't really think would be. So we've got Jota in there. Firmino finding sort of aging like a fine wine, it seems at the moment.
He's done
so
all right
this season.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Darwin Nunez as well. But I still have a slight concern with this front four that you seem to be playing at the moment. I don't think it's necessarily a strategy that's looked that great. And I think it restricts your fullbacks quite a lot. Interested to hear your thoughts and if you think it's going to continue and which of those front three will keep their place. For me, it would be Darwin Nunez at the moment that I look at. I think it's got the most chance of continued goal threat, but Jota's probably the most nailed for minutes because he can play out on that left-hand side.
Yeah, interesting to see, Harry, isn't it? Who will play on that left-hand side with Luis Diaz? He definitely was Klopp's go-to on that left-hand side. So I think Diogo Jota moved out there in the Arsenal game. We've got Carvalho kind of waiting in the wings to potentially pick up some minutes. But yeah, I at the moment, I'm with you. I don't think that you would want to invest in Liverpool ahead of Man City. But then going forward into 12, you know, if we see some improvement against Rangers in the Champions League and if we see some improvement against Manchester City, maybe I'll think about investing. But right now, I don't think I'll be touching Liverpool. The one positive I guess I would take is that Darwin Nunez did look pretty lively. He looked pretty good. He took his goal really well. The movement was pretty good as well. However, he's going to cost you a few FPL pounds if you want to bring him into your forward line. And with the likes of Kane ticking over, obviously the likes of Haaland that most of us will have, difficult to know where you're going to spend, you know, difficult to have Darwin Nunez as well up front and spend all that money in your front three. Before we move on, Harry, just a quick talk about Arsenal. Then we've covered them a little bit, but let's just go into your plans specifically in your FPL team. Obviously, no game in game week 12. And I have to say, I feel a bit robbed of that game. City-Arsenal right now would be a cracking game, wouldn't it? Two teams bang on form, fighting it out at the top of the league. What a game that would be. But sadly, not going to happen in game week 12. Both teams blanking. I, like you, have only got Martinelli. I took Jesus and Saliba out a few weeks ago on my wild card. I feel like that was good for future planning. So I feel like I'm okay now coming into game week 12. But I feel like I've missed out on some serious points since I took them out on my wild card. Is your plan to go back into treble Arsenal from game week 13? Or are you thinking, you know, maybe I'm going to miss out on some points here against Leeds and I want some in immediately?
I would love to have them in against Leeds. And I look at that Leeds fixture and think they will continue to score goals in it. But I don't think I'm going to go into it. I just don't think it makes sense to go buying into Manchester City and Arsenal assets this week as many points as I may miss out this week. Game week 13, I plan to roll my transfer going into game week 12 or game week 11. Yeah. So I've got two transfers to go into game week 13. And I think that's a really strong strategy for anyone who has the position to do it. Because if you roll your free transfer going in and take two into game week 13, you can straight away get back two Manchester City or Arsenal assets. And even three if you wanted to take a minus four, which is potentially what I'm looking at as well. Saka versus Jesus is a pretty close battle. Jesus taking up a forward spot, but actually at the moment, I've got Dominic Solanke, who after game week 12, we're at Southampton at home. I'm quite happy to move sideways or move up to Gabriel Jesus. Saka's underlying numbers and seeing that we took penalties in the most recent game is actually swinging me back to go with him as another fifth midfielder. Andreas Pereira of Fulham has been a great fifth midfielder for me sitting on the bench, given that I've only had to play four midfielders so far this season. But
did you have him on the bench this week? I'd add Andreas on the bench as well, as many FPL managers will have done, I'm pretty sure.
Not just last on my bench as well. There was no hope for him getting anywhere near him. But yeah, I think there's a lot of those midfielders now. We've gone through the stages this season that it was big at the back at the beginning of the season. Then we moved all our money up front and we wanted three strikers constantly. Now it is those mid-price midfielders coming back into the four that at the beginning of the season we thought we maybe need one or two. Now it looks like it's as many as you can get, and a sort of one premium strategy is starting to evolve. Everyone, of course, got Haaland from game week 13 onwards. You're probably not going to captain anyone apart from Erling Haaland going forward unless you want to go for a bit of a big differential. But the likes of Saka, Madison, Zaha, Bowen all performing really well in and around those. If you don't have a second premium, you can get all of those in. And that's kind of where I'm aiming for game week 13. So Saka is the one that I'm really looking at for that week. Is it Saka over Jesus, or are you going back up front?
Do you know what? I like the look of Saka as well. I noticed of all of the teams that played on Sunday, I look at the stats for all of the games that played out on Sunday, and he was actually top for non-penalty XG and took the penalty as well, right? So his underlying stats, his underlying numbers look great, and he's on penalties. He had a little bit of a sort of false start at the beginning of the season, didn't he? And Martinelli was obviously clearly in our thoughts as the value pick. But I have to say, I'm thinking of twinning Saka and Martinelli going forward. To be honest with you, I think either of them look really good picks. Both Jesus and Saka look really good. But on a more kind of macro level, I agree with you. This season, we've kind of jumped around a little bit in FPL, haven't we? It's been big at the back, then it's spending money up front, then it's in midfield. We had a little kind of mini renaissance of kind of big at the back a couple of weeks ago. That's kind of gone back off the radar now. FPL as a game hasn't really settled down yet this season from what I'm seeing. And here we are kind of on game week 10 going into 11. A decent chunk of the season has gone. Yeah, it's difficult to kind of set your stall out on a certain strategy. But I agree with you. Right now, I'm certainly looking at the likes of Saka and Bowen. And of course, we're not looking at Luis Diaz yet anymore. But that midfield kind of mid-priced bracket is definitely looking like where I'm going to target going into game week 13. You've mentioned a few of them there. We've talked about Saka. Who else is kind of second and third on your radar then, Harry? And in particular, I'm keen on your thoughts on Jared Bowen, because West Ham seem to have found a little bit of form, and he, maybe not coincidentally, has found a bit of form to go with it. Maybe he's the one that's driving these results for West Ham, right? And a couple of their players that they bought in the summer, the likes of Paqueta and Scamacca, you know, really, you know, finding a bit of form and finding their feet now in the Premier League. What's your view on that kind of midfield, mid-priced bracket, and in particular, Jared Bowen?
I like Bowen. They play Southampton this week. I think a big thing for me on West Ham, which makes them a little bit difficult to invest in, is that game week 12 fixture where they go away to Liverpool. I mean, on paper, it's a difficult fixture, but maybe we shouldn't be put off by it quite as much as we have given recent defensive performances for Liverpool. Totally. But those looking at defence, a lot of people looking at cheap defenders, for example, from West Ham, thinking, I'd love a West Ham defender. They look better, but they play Liverpool that week. Bowen, I do like, took the penalty in game week 10 as well, which is not really what we expected. If the likes of Antonio and Lanzini are not on the pitch, then it does look like we might see Bowen take back penalties. The run of fixtures between now and the World Cup are really nice for West Ham as well. Southampton, Bournemouth at home, Crystal Palace at home, Leicester at home, with those away fixtures against Liverpool and Manchester United. Bowen seems to be finding form, and we often say it that fixtures bring form. And I think that was one of the punts that people went with when they wildcarded around game week 8, game week 9, was to go back and buy into Jared Bowen, knowing what we've seen from him in the past few seasons and knowing what he's capable of doing. And we're starting to see that back from him. I do like him as an option. I don't necessarily think he's top priority for me. The top priority for me is Phil Foden and getting into him going into that run of fixtures that Manchester City have. We'll get onto Manchester City in a moment, but West Ham, the other key asset for them that people are looking at is Schumacher up front. Scored again this week.
Yeah, he looks good, doesn't he? Like the look of him.
Yeah, looks really good. It does seem that him and Antonio will play 60, 30 minutes pretty much every game, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It does mean you're pretty nailed to get minutes for your striker if you do go with him. Are you looking up front? Again, the up front positions do feel a little bit congested. It was a bit like the Jesus versus Saka debate. But again, at a slightly cheaper price, you can go and get him over Jared Bowen.
Yeah, and I think if we hear from Marco Silva that Alexander Mitrovic is out for a prolonged period of time, and we're kind of speculating again on injuries, we've got to wait to hear from the manager directly as to what's going on there. But if Mitrovic is out for a period of time and he misses maybe that Bournemouth home game, the Villa home game, he's got some great fixtures, Fulham. I must admit, despite the defeat at West Ham at the weekend, they have got some great fixtures going forward. So I really want to keep Mitrovic. But if he is going to be injured for a prolonged period of time, then maybe, you're right, I mean, Scamacca could come in. I think it was him, Antonio and Paqueta all got 3 bonus points in that game. So that tells you everything you need to know about West Ham at the minute in terms of their attacking intent and the way that they attack that game against Fulham. And I'm with you. I mean, on paper, the Liverpool game in game week 12 yeah, I guess on paper would put you off. You'd say you wouldn't want to go in on Antonio Scamacca, Paqueta, you know, Bowen, anybody from that West Ham attack. But listen, Liverpool, as we've already mentioned on this podcast, conceding goals for fun at the minute, you know, not such an issue scoring goals. So I don't think I would go in the West Ham defence necessarily. But could I look at a Scamacca as a Mitrovic replacement if the Serbian is out for some period of time? I think I could, because as you rightly say, those fixtures in and around that Liverpool game, and I don't think that's a bad game either, look pretty good. Bournemouth at home in 13, for example, looks a great fixture. So having found his feet a little bit, getting bonus points, getting amongst the goals, I think he scored in Europe as well at Scamacca. So he's a reasonable price, a good differential. He could be a Mitrovic replacement for me. I do agree with you.
Absolutely. I suppose there are a few other forwards which are sort of coming to the fore at the moment, quite a lot of them in and around that sort of mid-price bracket. Paton Daka in at Leicester scored again this week after coming off the bench in game week 9 and scoring. Ivan Toney getting back on the score sheet. Callum Wilson as well. Newcastle look like they are scoring goals for fun at the moment, nearly as much as Manchester City are. We've spoken about Scamacca. If you were looking for a Mitrovic replacement or you were looking to bring in a forward this week, would you go for a West Ham man or would you go for the likes of Callum Wilson, who I think would probably be top of my billing at the moment?
Yeah, it's interesting that, isn't it? 5-1. I wasn't expecting Newcastle to rack up quite such a big score. They seem to be conceding the odd goal as well, which is a Nick Pope and Trippier owner. It's really annoying me over the last few weeks. I have to say, double Newcastle defence is... it's just been an annoying own in FPL over the last few weeks because of that single goal. Although I happen to have Toney as well coming off the bench for me in game week 10 for Mitrovic. So I was quite happy to have his points. He was a reasonable differential for me. If Brentford were going to score a goal, I would have liked it to have been Toney, which was good. I noticed actually that Brian Mbeumo scored, didn't he? And he got it ruled out for offside. That was the worst possible outcome for me early on in that game. So I was quite pleased to see VAR intervening with that.
Yeah.
But would I invest in Newcastle? Yes, I would. I mean, they look full of attacking intent, don't they? And certainly that game against Brentford, I think Bruno Guimarães got the 3 bonus points and rightly so with the 2 goals. I mean, not a forward, but certainly one that I've got my eye on in that midfielder bracket. Difficult to know where exactly to go from a forward perspective. I guess you're going to go with Callum Wilson, given that Isak still looks, I think he's still injured. Again, haven't heard specifically how long he's going to be out for. But Callum Wilson in that team, of course, you're going to invest in at least one of the defenders, I believe. You know, if you've got Trippier, he's a hold. If you've got Nick Pope, I think he's fine as well. Even Sven Botman at 4.4, if you want a cheap route into that Newcastle defence, that's okay. But right now, I guess I would have my eye on Bruno Guimarães. I mean, not only did he get the 2 goals and the 3 bonus points, but what a performance in that game. Absolutely run the show, didn't he, against Brentford. Would you consider him as well, Harry? Or are you looking firmly in the forward slot for your Newcastle cover?
I think he's slightly too expensive for me in and around that sort of 6.5 million price bracket. He's probably just slightly too much than I want to pay for him. I do like the look as a bit of a differential of Almiron. I don't necessarily think I'm going to end up going there, but down at 5.1, if you are looking for a cheap option, he feels like the one to go with at the moment. We've got Bailey, who again is yellow flag, didn't feature last night. And they have, and he's falling in price again. Pedro Neto, the one we started at the season, Wolves scoring less goals than anyone in England's top 5 leagues or whatever it is so far this season, with only 3 goals so far this season. 5.1 million for Miguel Almiron. If they're going to be scoring 4 goals every game or 3 or 4 goals, there's a good chance that he's on the end or involved in at least 1 or 2 of those. So I don't necessarily think if it's a tight game, he's going to be that involved. But if you're looking for a cheap option, I do quite like him. And at the moment, I suppose we're not that tight for cash, but if I am looking at Harry Kane in, if I'm looking at Saka in as well, it could be an option that I could go with. But generally, I'm looking up front. If I want a Newcastle attacker, I think it will be Callum Wilson that I end up going with. But at the moment, Everton at home in game week 12, I think game week 12 captaincy is going to turn out to be a little bit more difficult than people thought. Again, Liverpool at home to West Ham was penciled in for a lot of people going, I'm going to captain Salah, I'm going to captain Trent, and it looks a lot more difficult for that. So we do need to be looking at that week for a potential captaincy. At the moment, I'm completely torn about where I'm going to put it. Reece James against Brentford has the possibility. Brighton have Nottingham Forest at home. Trossard potentially coming in for me as well. Could be an outside captaincy shout that week. But because Manchester United play against Tottenham, Harry Kane and the likes of Antony, for example, makes it slightly more difficult to captain them as well.
I like your Almiron shout, by the way. Really nice goal, wasn't it, a couple of weeks ago against Fulham? It was I think that's a goal of the month contender for me. And he certainly seems to be full of confidence. What a goal that was. But moving on from Newcastle, you're right, actually. I mean, we've got to start to look at game week 12 a little bit, and we've got to start thinking about what our strategy for our transfers is in game week 11 with a view to helping ourselves come game week 12. And I like your Harry Kane shout there, actually. Let's talk about him for a bit, because one thing you are going to get with him, we think, although there has been a little bit more rotation recently this season with Conte, because he's got the players and the squad to do it. But, you know, I'm certainly looking at my transfers for game week 11 with a nod to 12 and thinking, you know, I need 90-minute men here. I need players that are going to play. I need players that are going to rack up those minutes. And Harry Kane is a name you dropped in there. Talk to me about him then, because of course he's going to be pretty expensive for us up front. And we've already got Haaland. You talked about Darwin Nunez before as well. All of a sudden, we're thinking, you know, he's big up front, a bit of a strategy. But I have to say, I am also looking at Harry Kane. He's ticking over nicely at the minute. My question to you, Harry, is that enough for the money, right? It's going to cost you quite a lot, right, in FPL. And he's sort of hitting a goal here or there, maybe a bonus point here or there. I haven't seen too many kind of double-digit hauls from him yet, or the potential for double-digit hauls. But he's on penalties. He's a 90-minute man. I've got to say, I've definitely got my eye on him for that reason. What do you think?
Yeah, I think your sort of comment on 90-minute men is quite important going into the next few weeks, because game week 12 is a midweek deadline. So not only is it a blank week where we're probably only going to have 11 players out, no bench at all, it's then a midweek game week, which historically tend to have slightly more rotation in them as well. So you are not really wanting to have players in your squad that you're risking and you're not 100% sure if they're going to start every week. So someone like Harry Kane is definitely one that's on my radar as well. And if I was to say to you that if you take Haaland out of the game, of course, he's done incredible things so far this season. Harry Kane is the top point scorer. I think he's going quite under the radar, the fact that he's actually top for points. But because Haaland's there as that premium forward, people are not really looking at him, and people have gone with De Bruyne, people have gone with Salah as their second premium. But Kane being the sort of top point scorer outside of Haaland means I think we can look for a two premium forward option. Is he worth it, potentially going over a differential of the Liverpool assets? I think he probably is. Again, Everton at home this week. If you're not wanting to captain Erling Haaland against Liverpool and you are wanting to look elsewhere, Harry Kane is probably the only player that I would look to captain over Haaland this week. Again, the fixtures between now and the World Cup are good. They're not perfect, but there are some nice fixtures in there for him. And it does feel like it's Kane and no one else in that Spurs team at the moment. Defensively, the fullbacks are rotating every single game. We saw Doherty come in this week. Perisic, Sessegnon rotate every week. Emerson Royale will come back in and get some games. You can go in defense in the sort of central part if you want to go with Romero, but it's pretty difficult and there's not much attacking threat there. Up front, you've got Richarlison, you've got Son, who we've spoken about on this podcast quite a lot, just not getting the FPL returns that we really wanted him to. I thought this weekend we might see slightly more from him. He did pick up the assist for Kane's goal in a 1-0 win when them playing only sort of two up front. I thought it might benefit him a little bit more than he did, but it just feels like he's just not worth the money either. I was thinking Son in for this week, captain him against Everton at home, and then move to Salah in game week 12. And that plan has quickly gone out the window. So if I'm going in on Spurs, it's definitely going in on Kane and Kane only. The fixtures are not bad. I do trust him a lot as well, which I think carries a lot of weight. Yeah. I know what I'm going to get from him. I know how involved he's going to be, and he has penalties as well. That 90-minute man, he's definitely on my radar, and I can quite easily get to him from Kevin De Bruyne as well, with a couple of free transfers in the bank as well. Do you have an easy route to him? Would it be this week? Would it be next week? What's your plan with Kane?
Well, I have to say I'm thinking similar to you, Harry. I mean, he's you know, he's 20% selected, so for, like you say, the second highest point scorer in the game, he is a little bit under the radar. You can call him really a differential at 20%, but compared to the, you know, like say Haaland's ownership, you know, Kane is a little bit under the radar. The one thing we've got to consider is that at time of recording, he currently is flagged on FPL. So he's got a 75% chance of playing flag on him. Again, let's wait to hear from Antonio Conte. Let's see how Spurs got on in Europe this week. I think he'd be okay. He did play the majority of that game against Brighton. In fact, I think he got 89 minutes. He might have come off slightly early, but I don't think there's too much of an issue there. But just a word of warning for any FPL managers that are thinking of bringing him in. I think I would have to go the same way as you, Harry. I think I would have to go for Kevin De Bruyne out. There's absolutely no chance of me taking Haaland out of my team to fund Harry Kane or a move to Harry Kane. So it would have to be Kevin De Bruyne out to make up that money to get to him. And I would probably have to upgrade. You know, we mentioned Mitrovic's fixtures earlier. I don't really want to take him out ahead of those fixtures, assuming that he's fit. So I'd have to take out, you know, slightly reluctantly, I have to say, because he's on penalties and set pieces as well. But Ivan Toney would have to go out of the team, and I'd have to upgrade him to get to Harry Kane. But I don't mind it. I don't mind it. And one of the reasons I don't mind it is for all the reasons that you've mentioned before. But also, like you, I'm thinking that Phil Foden is probably the Manchester City midfielder that I want to invest in come game week 13 once that blank is out of the way. So could I sacrifice Kevin De Bruyne now to go to Kane, knowing that actually it's De Bruyne would have been sacrificed in 13 to get to Foden anyway, because I want to keep Cancelo in my team. I want to keep Haaland in my team. As much as I'd like to have more than three Man City players, we can't, according to the rules of FPL. So I think it would be De Bruyne being downgraded, if that's the right phrase. I don't know if it necessarily is, but De Bruyne downgraded, at least from a FPL pounds perspective, to Foden, so that I could fund Harry Kane. But I have to say, I'm interested in your thoughts just briefly on Heung-min Son as well, because I don't know whether, I mean, certainly Sam has been saying in recent podcasts the fact that Son and Perisic playing together has been a bit of a problem for Antonio Conte. The fact that they make similar sorts of runs on that side, maybe they're kind of getting in each other's way a little bit, and Son has had to adapt to Perisic coming into the team. Now, at the weekend, in game week 10, I noticed that actually Son started, Perisic didn't. And actually, it was that substitution that Antonio Conte made. He subbed Son off and brought Perisic on later in the game. I wonder whether Conte is maybe looking at that now and has kind of, I wouldn't say he's kind of caught on to what we've been saying in FPL for a few weeks. I mean, Antonio Conte is a Premier League manager and we're not. But maybe he's looking at the dynamic down that side and suggesting, yeah, maybe only one of those guys can play. And on that basis, I find it difficult to invest in either of those guys. So I'm with you. If I was going to go to Spurs, I think it would be Kane. What do you think of that left-hand side with Son and with Perisic? Do you think that that's a bit of an FPL minefield for us on that left-hand side for Spurs?
Yeah, and we have been saying it for a few weeks that Perisic starting is not good for Son. But Perisic, I feel, is such a quality player. And his set-piece delivery is really helping Spurs when good he player, does start. We've seen it quite a few goals for them so far this season coming from Perisic free kicks, Perisic corners in particular. Again, it just mean I don't want to be waiting for that Tottenham lineup to come out. And I think, is Perisic playing? Is Son playing? If I've got Son in my team, having to check two players on the lineup to see, I basically need him not to start Perisic and to start Son for me to be in with potential hauls or potential good amount of points going forward. I think it's just too much given the price that Son is at the moment. Let's move to the team that is setting the world alight at the moment, which is Manchester City. Another 4-0, very convincing win. A lot of us looking at Manchester City going into this week, thinking game week 12, they blank. How soon do we move off them? Before Southampton, probably was not the week to do it. And again, the points are pretty shared. Haaland did get his goal in the end. Mahrez scoring, Cancelo scoring as well. That big haul, reminding us exactly why he needs to stay in our team as one of those premium defenders. Again, the assists going around the team, De Bruyne picking up one, Cancelo one, but again, Phil Foden with a goal and assist. It feels like a lot of us, and game week 12 being quite a nice excuse to move away from Kevin De Bruyne into Phil Foden as sort of pivot around that game week. But Phil Foden in at 8.2 million just can't seem to stop scoring and can't seem to stop getting assists as well, playing up top sort of alongside Erling Haaland. He looks so good.
Yeah, they are incredible. This season, incredible. And Haaland has taken him to a whole new level, right? And he's also, you look at the way that he plays, his overall game, the way that he is instilling that fear into other Premier League defences is really benefiting the supporting cast around him as well. Phil Foden, you rightly say. I mean, Jack Grealish as well. I mean, there's a reasonable differential, I think, going into game week 13, if you were thinking about going there. Interesting kind of setup, though. He doesn't seem to be bringing home the FPL points, does he, Grealish? Although the performances suggest that he probably has been a little bit unlucky. But when he plays on the left, and we've seen this in recent weeks, maybe not quite so much in the Saints game, but when Grealish plays on the left-hand side, Foden on the right-hand side tends to, you know, cut in more. He gets into more dangerous positions. Foden is getting more touches in the box when he plays on that right-hand side. And that dynamic on that side with him and the fullback is just working perfectly for Pep right now. They look so, so good. So I think from an FPL perspective, I got no... You know, I'm absolutely not thinking about selling any of them ahead of the Liverpool game. If anything, we've talked before in recent weeks about, you know, perma captain in Haaland in FPL, and you mentioned briefly there, Harry, about other captaincy options. And, you know, maybe this is a good time to have that conversation. We were going to save it to the end of the podcast, but let's have it now. I mean, Haaland captain against Liverpool in game week 11. Are you thinking that, or are you thinking elsewhere? Because he looks irresistible right now. And as we've already said a number of times, I'm not going to keep saying it because it's really putting a wiping the smile off my face. Liverpool conceding for fun right now. And I think Haaland's going to have, well, I think he's going to have a really good game at Anfield. This is a team in Liverpool that haven't lost, let's remember, at home in front of a crowd for many, many years, something like 4 or 5 years, right? I mean, we lost a couple of games during the COVID pandemic and when we play behind closed doors. But in front of a crowd, Liverpool haven't lost for a while. And my concern is that City and Haaland will know that, right? They'll go into the game knowing that. They'll also know that by beating Liverpool at Anfield, it kills off any lingering hope that Liverpool might have had of getting into the title race. I don't think that we have any, quite frankly, as a Liverpool fan. You know, top four at the moment looks a bit of a stretch. But Man City will smell blood, I think, and they will therefore go to the next level. And that's pretty frightening because the level they're at right now is beating teams 4 and 5 nil. So going to another level at Anfield against a team that is really not defending that well. Can you tell from the fear in my voice, Harry, that I'm a bit worried about this game? I've got my bus captain on Haaland right now, and I think I'm going to give it to him, you know.
Yeah, and I think if you go in with that midfield two formation as well, the thought of Manchester City's midfield going up against two Liverpool midfielders right in the centre of the park, I feel like is just going to get absolutely overrun. As we said, talking about Spurs, I think there's only one player that I would even consider captaining over Erling Haaland at the moment, and that is Harry Kane. Home fixture against Everton. Everton have been better defensively, but I still think there'll be chances for Tottenham going into that one. But at the moment, I don't have him, and it is on Erling Haaland going into this week, and I have absolutely no chance, I don't think, of moving that unless Kane comes into my team. But even then, I still think I'll leave it against him because we're saying things like, oh, he's only scored once this game. He's only scored twice when he played in the Champions League. He got taken off at half time. Oh, he only scored twice this game. If we're making statements like that, he's only scored once. This is the level that he's changing the Premier League to. He could score two, three goals in any game, no matter the defense he's playing against. So the whole potential that he's got at the moment, everything is going through him. If they score two or three goals, the chances are he's going to have at least sort of a goal and an assist or a couple of returns in that game as well. So I think it's on him just because of the sheer power that Manchester City have going forward and how focal he is to that as well. And actually, we spoke about it a little bit with my sort of movement away potentially to a one premium option from game week 13. I'm considering going into that with only Haaland as my only premium option from game week 13 onwards and just captaining him every week from there. Now, the fixtures between then and the World Cup are fairly straightforward for Manchester City as well. It is kind of a sea of green. But I do think a sort of one premium, Captain Haaland every week, given that he seems to be playing every week as well, this sort of rest and rotation that we thought at the beginning of the season we might see for him is just not occurring. They sort of 4-0 up and he's staying on the pitch and he's taking off those around him. Again, just highlights he wants to stay on the pitch. He wants Haaland to score as many goals as he seems to at the moment. So yeah, I'm on the sort of almost perma-captain Haaland strategy at the moment just because I don't want to look elsewhere. No one is exploding nearly as much as he is.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Before we talk about our teams and we talk about our transfer plans for game week 11 and what we're going to do, I've got to give you a bit of airtime on the pod to talk about your actual team, Chelsea Football Club. Found a bit of form and I've got Aston Villa coming up next. So as a sort of segue from the captaincy option there, we're saying, yes, it's got to be Haaland. Maybe we could be tempted by Kane. Last time we were on the podcast, I think Chelsea had just come off the back of a not very good performance and lost what was the game? Is it the Southampton game, right?
It was 3-0 to Leeds when we lost. Yeah, that was the game.
Oh, the Leeds game.
On.
The Leeds game. Yeah. So it's only fair that you get a bit of time on the podcast after a really good result against Wolves at the weekend. So with the captaincy in mind, could I tempt you, Harry, with somebody in that new look Potter side against a, you know, let's face it, a fairly out of sorts Aston Villa side? Could you be tempted by a Sterling or an Aubameyang or maybe even a Reece James, or is the Potter lottery, as I'm now going to call it, too much to handle? Because there was a lot of rotation from that Chelsea side going into that Wolves game, right?
Yeah, as much as I like the way we performed, especially over the past three games, so two league games and the Champions League, looked really good. It is that sort of Potter rotation that we're starting to see, not just in terms of players starting, but also the points are very shared around the team. It's different players scoring. It's not like you've got Manchester City where you're pretty sure it's going to be Haaland who scores. The points are being shared. The amount of changes that were made going into this match as well, the likes of Reece James, you saw Chilwell bench, we then saw Aubameyang, Raheem Sterling, all missing out, and a lot of them missing out completely, not even getting in off the bench as well. But it was another really strong performance. But again, just given that amount of rotation and how well we played with that rotation still taking place is what means that I probably won't go investing in them from an attacking point of view, just because I now see that it, it's like the Potter system, that he can change players. The system works so well that we will continue to perform well. So he can take Sterling out if he feels like he's a little bit tired and put Kai Havertz in. He can take out Aubameyang and put Pulisic in. He can make these changes. And we still seem to perform as free-flowing as we have so far. Reece James, I do think, will come back in, and I've got him in, and anyone with Reece James, I wouldn't panic. If Reece James was in that game, as well as I think Azpilicueta played, I think he could have had an absolute haul in that one. Again, with the clean sheet, but the attacking returns that he could have had there as well, I really like. The one that I has started to catch my eye, and I'm not sure I ever thought we'd have the Chelsea conversation about him again, is Kepa in goal at 4.4 million, just because of the sort of budget option that he's offering. Those with Nick Pope, I wouldn't necessarily be selling straight away. I think he's a fine option, but a couple of those leaky goals for Newcastle starting to potentially put a little bit of doubt in people's minds. If you've got the Chelsea starting goalkeeper, as it looks like we do at the moment, of Kepa in at 4.4 million, it looks like a really nice option between now and the World Cup. We know that Kepa is better with the ball at his feet. We know that Mendy's not that way inclined. He's a better shot stopper, but he's not that good at being composed. We know that Potter likes to have a goalkeeper who can play with the ball. Now, I wouldn't do it unless you had Danny Ward as your sort of backup. If you've got someone else who doesn't play, I probably wouldn't take the chance on Kepa, because there is that chance that Mendy does come back in occasionally. But it does look like Kepa will be that name on the team sheet that I expect to see there. 4.4 million, the cheapest starting goalkeeper outside of Leicester at the moment. He looks like a fairly good differential as well, if you do want to double up on the Chelsea defence. Any plans to move Nick Pope on for you? Would Kepa be in your thoughts?
He would be in my thoughts, but I don't think that I would go there instead of Pope. No, I think I would probably align with the strategy that you just outlined there, Harry. I've got Iverson as my second goalkeeper right now, because I thought that he might get a bit of a chance a couple of weeks ago when Danny Ward wasn't really showing much form for Leicester. So I thought, well, let's go with Iverson. I needed that 0.1 on my wild card. I know it sounds crazy, but I did need that 0.1 from Iverson over Ward. So I went with him. And of course, that's a bit of a, I wouldn't say it's a massive problem, because I can start Nick Pope most weeks. But if I've got a transfer to burn or burning a hole in my pocket, which right now I don't really, because we've got a plan and I've got a plan for game week 12. But if I had a transfer that I didn't know what to do with, yeah, an Iverson to a Kepa for a net, 0.4, 0.5 more, with a view to having, a double investment in that Chelsea defence, because I'm with you. I certainly think that Reece James is a hold for me ahead of the fixtures it got, despite the rotation this week. Then yeah, the starting Chelsea goalkeeper at 4.4, why wouldn't you have a look? Why wouldn't you have a look? Yeah, he looks really good to me. Let's move it on, Harry, to our teams then for game week 11. We've spoken a little bit about captaincy. We think we're both going to go with Haaland at Anfield, a bit reluctantly on my side, I have to say. Maybe we could be tempted by Harry Kane. But talk to me about your team and how it's set up for game week 11.
Yeah, so it's looking fine at the moment. I've currently got a sort of 3-4-3 formation lining up this week with Cancelo, James, Trippier, Madison, De Bruyne, Zaha, Martinelli, with currently flagged Mitrovic, but I think we are, again, waiting for press conference news on him. Haaland and Dominic Solanke, but I have an issue of Trent Alexander-Arnold sat first on my bench. Again, we'll wait for news on him, but yellow flagged at the moment. I am looking at potential replacements for him using my free transfer this week. Lewis Dunk is currently top of my potential transfers in. Again, they play Nottingham Forest in game week 12, which is the fixture I'm really targeting. I already own double Crystal Palace defence in Gaita and Gehi, so I don't want to move to them despite a Wolves at home fixture in game week 12. I don't need a third defender from them. So it is Lewis Dunk. It's not a particularly exciting transfer, but it would free up a lot of money going Trent down to Dunk that then potentially allows me to look at Andreas up to the likes of Phil Foden or Trossard potentially over the next coming week. So not the most exciting transfer this week, but it allows me to do a lot looking at the blank next week and my potential Arsenal and Man City plans in game week 13.
Yeah, do you know what? We haven't spoken much about Brighton on this podcast, have we? But maybe we should, because they do have a reasonable fixture in Brentford away in 11. But then that Forest at home in game week 12, in a game week where we really are going to need to use our squads, bringing the likes of Lewis Dunk. I really like that. I really like that, Harry. The thought of bringing in a player that can really come in for you off the bench and do a job for you like Lewis Dunk. And a lot of the narrative ahead of game week 12 is going to be, well, Trossard this or Danny Welbeck. And it's going to be, I think, focused a lot on the forwards for Brighton, particularly after Trossard's hat-trick at Anfield the other week. But yeah, bringing in a Lewis Dunk, yeah, you're right on paper. It's not that exciting a transfer, but I have to say, it's very effective. And do you know what? That is the art of FPL, is bringing in those sorts of players that, going a little bit under the radar when everyone's thinking of a Nunez or a Trossard or a Kane, and the big boys up front, actually bringing in a dunk is probably a sensible thing to do. Like you, I'm certainly going to be keeping a keen eye on any press conferences or anything that any of the managers say about the injured players or the flagged players in FPL this week. It's all eyes on Mitrovic, really, for me. I think if he is confirmed out for a prolonged period of time, then I may do the De Bruyne to Kane switch that I was mentioning before. I've got two free transfers. So, you know, obviously it's not a straight switch with one being a midfielder and one being a forward, but De Bruyne down to someone else so that I could fund Mitrovic to Kane with my two free transfers. That is certainly something that I'm having a look at. Elsewhere in my team, it feels relatively set. I mean, I have my three City players. I have Cancelo, De Bruyne and Haaland captain in for that trip to Anfield for, you know, what I think is going to be a difficult game for Liverpool. Madison is there at home to Palace, which I think is a nice fixture. Zaha came in a couple of weeks ago. Only the assist actually this week for Zaha, but listen, looked pretty lively in that game at Selhurst Park. So happy to hold him with his decent fixtures going through until the World Cup. You know, Martinelli, he'll get a stay of execution, no doubt, because, you know, Leeds away, I think, is a good fixture for Arsenal. And then I have a similar back line and forward line to a lot of other people. Cancelo, James Trippier at the back, Nick Pope in as well. I don't feel too great about the Newcastle double defence this week going to Old Trafford with Trippier and with Pope. So, you know, listen, I've got those two free transfers. Maybe that switch that you might just have talked me into earlier by going Iverson to Kepa and then playing double Chelsea defence rather than double Newcastle defence this week. I feel a little bit better, actually, you know, with Chelsea going to Aston Villa rather than Newcastle going to Manchester United. I would fancy Chelsea to do better at Villa than I would Newcastle at Old Trafford. So that might, yeah, something that, thank you for that. Let's put that on my radar, actually. Maybe the Iverson to Kepa switch is one that I'm considering. And then up front is Haaland, Mitrovic and Tony. Tony at home to Brighton. I think that's a reasonable fixture for him, despite the fact you've just said about getting Lewis Dunk in. And I do fancy them potentially for a clean sheet there under De Zerbi and the new system. So yeah, all eyes on Mitrovic for me going into this game week. Elsewhere, the team is looking, I have to say, a little bit template. I'm wondering whether I need to take a few little differential punts around the edges. Maybe the double Chelsea defence is one that I go for. So my two free transfers, I'll be looking to maybe just move away from the template a little bit and have a little bit more fun to kind of get up the ranks a bit in game week 12.
Amazing. Well, it feels like both of us are, again, waiting for press conference news, potentially trying to move away from a couple of the highly owned assets and looking at Phil Foden as well over the next coming weeks, with game week 13 being the real focus point for us. Can we get through to that point and really start to push on with Manchester City and Arsenal coming back in that fixture? So at the end of game week 11, we will have just a couple of days. So a reminder that game week 12 is that midweek deadline, which of course is the blank for Manchester City and Arsenal as well. On Thursday's FPL pod, Kelly, Jules, Sam and their guests will have a look forward to game week 11 and how their plans have been impacted by that blank in game week 12. They'll also consider the squad structure and is big at the back finally ended. Thank you all for listening to this week's Off the Bench.
Thanks, Harry. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.